We all ask questions.
Are eyebrows considered facial hair?
I've always wondered, do vegetarians eat animal crackers?
If a number two pencil's so popular, why is it still number two?
Do bald people get dandruff?
Why are power outages reported on TV? That makes no sense.
But some questions are more meaningful than others.
How do I handle all the stress in my life?
How do I discover God's will for my life and live it out every day?
I have a hard time dealing with disappointment. What does the Bible say I should do?
How can I be the parent my kids need me to be and the one God wants me to be?
What does the Bible say about dealing with difficult people? Because I know some.
Are we actually living in the end times? What does that mean for me?
So we turn to the one who has all the answers. We'll examine some of our biggest questions and discover God's best plan. Why? Because you asked for it.
All right. Everybody excited about some things happening right here at Cross Point? All right. I must say, I love that announcement video with the striped shirts and the stripes up here. Did y'all get that? I thought that was kind of cool. Anyway, let me just also add to that one thing that is actually coming up at the end of this month, and that is that we are having a community picnic that we're hosting here at Cross Point the last Sunday of this month. And so that's actually going to happen at 1 o'clock. We'll spend the time from the time we conclude up until 1 o'clock getting prepared for that. And really, it's technically not our event. It's an event of the community here of College Downs community. But we're part of that community, so therefore it is our event. And I was really encouraged that I actually serve on the board of the community, and they elected to actually have a picnic again here. They had one back, I think it was in June or July this summer, and so they decided they wanted to come back here again. Somebody suggested a park, and we got voted over the park. I thought that was kind of cool. So we really want you to be involved in that. We'd love to have you come be a part, so don't make any plans for lunch on that on the last Sunday of this month. That's just in a couple weeks. We would love to have you join with us and be a part of that. And it gives us an opportunity just to connect and build relationships and be a part of the community. We are not called to be isolated, but to be a part. And in fact, we're to be light and salt, Jesus said. So I want to encourage you with that. Really excited about that opportunity that we have coming up and that God's allowing us to be a part of. And so I want to welcome you to part 6 of our series that we've entitled, You Asked For It. And the reason for that, for those that are here for the first time, let me explain that. Back at Easter, when we have a lot of people here at one time, we actually did a survey and asked, what would you like to hear about from the Bible? And so we built this series in the fall around the results of that survey. And so it allows us just to be very practical in answering some of your questions. And that's very biblical because the disciples did that with Jesus. They would ask him questions and they would kind of set the agenda and he would address that according to their questions. And so it's been a great series that we've talked about what time it is as far as the end times. We looked at that and we looked at the issue of being stressed. Help me, I'm stressed. We looked at dealing with difficult people. And one of the great questions that was asked was, what's God's will for my life? And we looked at that. And so all of these messages are actually found online at crosspointworshipcenter.com. They're archived there for you. There's message notes that you can download and follow along as you listen to the message there. Love for you to connect with that. In fact, we have message notes there in our lobby that are available for you, and actually a booklet to go with that's free for you to use, that you could take that, use that so you can keep up with all message notes. We usually do all of our messages around here in series. We have a few standalones here and there, but usually they're in series, and you can compile those message notes that we have. In fact, you have this morning, they're in your worship guide, some message notes. You can pull those out. We're going to be using those for the final installment of this series today, that you can follow along and use those notes to connect with us on this. This last part 6 of this series is dealing with disappointment. And so a lot of you said, well, how do I deal with disappointment? And life does sometimes deal with some things that are tough to deal with and can be at times extremely disappointing. And so right up front, let's just take the scripture that's found where Jesus was addressing this. In fact, he was speaking to his disciples, trying to break things down for them in John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus says this. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now, then he says this, in this world you will have trouble. And so sure as you know that Jesus is saying this, and so there's some authority there, and he's saying you're going to have trouble. And so I'm just going to reiterate that to you today. Guess what? In life, you're going to have trouble. Can you be more positive, Pastor? I'm positive. You're going to have trouble in this world. It's just going to happen. Welcome to Crosspoint. There you go. You came here for encouragement, right? I hope this will be encouraging, because here's what Jesus went on to say. He says, take heart. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. Because of this fact, I have overcome the world. And so here were the disciples who had certain expectations. And I think all of us have expectations of life. When Jesus came, the disciples thought, well, you're here, you're the Messiah, we bought into that, and this is the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel. They were looking at him as a political leader that was going to come in, going to restore everything, was going to set things right. He was going to conquer everybody right then and there, and it's going to be, everything's going to be taken care of. But to their disappointment, it didn't turn out that way. In fact, Jesus told them that's not what's going to happen. In fact, he continued on to explain to them that he was going to die. And that was the last thing they expected to happen, that their Lord, their Messiah, was going to die. And Jesus also shared with them, he said, hey, listen, the world has hated me. And guess what? It's going to hate you as well. And so there was a certain level of great disappointment there. And Jesus was betrayed, and he had many disappointments in his life, and he even went through a cruel trial and the cruel cross. And the disciples experienced this great disappointment. And their disappointment comes from the same place that ours does. And that is when reality does not meet our expectations. We have certain expectations, and reality dictates something entirely different. And this happens throughout life. It can happen with small things or big things. It can be small things. It can be, you know, I had an event planned, and I thought the sun was going to shine. It was outside an event, and it rained on that day, so I'm disappointed. It could be getting a grade back on a paper that you thought you did really good in school or high school or college, or you thought you were going to get a grade for the semester, and it you didn't get the grade you were looking for. And there's that level of disappointment. It could be simply going to a restaurant and having a bad experience there, you know, a bad service, and, you know, something minor like that. It could be a movie that you paid money for, and when you got into the movie, you said, man, I wish I could get my money back. Can we leave now? This is robbed me of my time and my money. It's just disappointing. It could be a football game, you know, that could disappoint you, right? Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to lose probably some of you right here, but I'm a Florida State Seminole. I thought I was going to suffer great disappointment and have a great illustration for you this morning, but thank God we pulled it out at the end of Miami last night. I don't know how your team did, but, you know, that could be a level of disappointment. But then there's those things that are bigger than that, and that is oftentimes, you know, we're expecting to get a job, and we didn't get the job, or we wanted a promotion, and it didn't come through for us, and they promoted somebody else over us that we thought wasn't even as qualified as we were. It may be a friend that you thought was going to be there, at a time when you really needed them, they turned their back on you, and they were not there for you, and you felt betrayed. It could be a dating situation where you're dating somebody, you think, this is the one, and it turned out not to be the one. It could be that you're in a marriage and you're not far into your marriage and you thought it was going to be, this was it. When I get married, everything's going to be solved. And the first year of marriage, guess what? You got a dose of reality and you found out marriage is not perfect. Your wife's not perfect. Your husband's not perfect. It could be that you've been married many years and you've turned around and you seem like you and your spouse is very far apart. Disappointment could come through sickness, where there's something that's come against you physically and you seem to have no control over that, or even experienced a death of a loved one. And the worst kind of disappointment is that you have went through something and you were disappointed in God. And you felt like God wasn't there for you, and if you felt like he didn't come through in the way that you thought he he should. And I want us to think about these disappointments that we have in our life. And the fact of the matter is, there's never a lack of advice when it comes to people trying to give you advice when you go through a difficult situation or disappointment. You know, there's the old school approach that when you're going through disappointment, that people come up to you and just say, well, just get over it. I mean, just get over it. Just shake it off. Blow it off. Shake it off. You know, get over it. And I mean, you have emotions. You have feelings. What do you mean? Come on. Just get over it. You know, that's the old school. Then there's the new school, kind of the Zen, you know, yoga approach. And they say, well, okay, we're gonna go stretch and meditate. Now, I don't know about you, but stretching, for me, can be kind of painful. You know, and then meditating, I don't want to think about this anymore, you know. And so, you know, there's all kind of different approaches. And then there's also people that say, well, think about the person who has it worse. And that may actually work a little bit, but the bad part about that is actually at the expense of the other person. You know, well, my life's not as bad as this person. You know? So, you know, we think about this. I want to share with you, actually, in case you are kind of in that place of disappointment, just to kind of lighten things up a little bit. We believe, actually, church should be fun. I know that's kind of an interesting concept, but we actually do think church should be fun. So I'm just going to add a little humor here. I want to share with you some pictures that might encourage you that, like, if you're disappointed, like if your car's not up to par or running the way it should be, or you're having car trouble, you could look at this first picture here. You know, it could look like this. You know, hey, you did not realize duct tape could be used in so many different ways, did you? I mean, the car is held together by duct tape. Some of you got some idea right now. You're going to go back, got to go outside, and you're going to go get some duct tape, take care of things. Or here's another example. You thought you had a bad haircut. I'm just, it's not that bad. You look good. Turn to somebody upside. You're okay. You look good. And then, or you could be stuck in the 90s, you know. Nobody that we know. We don't know these people, all right? And so, you know, it could be a lot worse. And so for some of you that just think, well, things are just not going that well for us, let me show you this one right here. This guy thinks he is awesome, but dude, you're not awesome. Sorry, misspelled tattoo. Bad, I'm awesome. No, sorry to tell you, dude, you're not awesome. Or you know, you think your family is a little dysfunctional. Let me look at this family. Look at this family. You know what we say about cats around here? I know I got some cat owners and lovers that we're at odds at each other, but I mean, just look at your kids and say, it's going to be okay. We're going to be all right. I mean, look at that. Look at those cats. Anyway, so just share a little bit of laughter there with you. But honestly, sometimes disappointments are very, very real. Very real. And so what does the Bible tell us to do about that? Again, John chapter 16 and verse 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And what that scripture is really saying there is that the world will fail us. I mean, trouble is on the way. Disappointment is around every corner. And the world will fail us, but God never will. And that's the message today. The world will fail us, but God never will. And so we need to do a reality check. And so we put oftentimes a lot of expectations on this world. But this world is messed up. We're putting a lot of expectations on this world to satisfy all my desires and my wants and fulfill me and satisfy me. And I need more of this or more of that. And we put a lot of expectations, but this world is messed up. And Jesus, he lived a perfect life, and yet he himself walked through a lifetime full of disappointments that actually even led him to the cross. And Jesus, get this, never came to say that he was going to make all this right, but rather he offered a better way. And so it's so easy for us to love God, but put faith in our world. You need to get that. Sometimes we love God, but we put all of our faith in this world, in the things of this world, and the things around us, and we need this thing and that thing propping us up. But if you prop yourself up with a bunch of things, when some of those things are cut out of your life, it's going to wreck your life, right? If that's where all your support is, and you feel like, because it's a false hope. You've put your hope in the wrong things. This world, again, will fail us, but God never will. And so the key then is to shift those expectations. And so this message today is really a message about maturity. And we all can get better and mature. There's areas that we can improve on. Paul speaks it very well in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he says this, he says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And then he says this, for our light and momentary troubles. Let me just time out right there. Anybody that knows anything about the Apostle Paul, his hardships were not light and they were not momentary. They were hard and they were long lasting. But yet somehow Paul had a perspective that he viewed his what he was going through as being light and momentary. And he says, but they're achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. For we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so Paul was saying, you got to fix your eyes on what matters. And that means not just a glance, but I'm talking about fixing your eyes on the goal, fixing your eyes on Jesus. And so he's not talking about just a Sunday morning experience like we're having here. We just come through, we do that little religious thing on Sunday morning and then go on. Or we have a little 10-minute session with the Lord and that's about it in a day. And then we just go on about our business. But actually, Paul's talking about this hyper-focus where his eyes, his mind, his body, he is fully engaged. He's locked in on Jesus. I mean, he's locked in on Jesus. It kind of reminds me of driving. You know, when you're driving to a destination, anybody ever went on a vacation and you're driving and it's just a long trip that you're trying to get there and you're just locked in on getting there. Sometimes you got to go through rain and storms and traffic and delays. But you know, when you're driving, you just gotta lock in and get there, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about, just totally locking in to reach your destination. And sometimes I have had to at times drive at night when it's late and when I'm sleepy and when I'm tired and I know I've got the responsibility of getting my family to a certain destination and I'm locked in. I remember when Kim and I were dating, we would go down to Myrtle Beach for a day trip and come back. And I remember coming back on those roads that, you know, it was just little narrow roads, creative way to get to Myrtle Beach and I would start getting sleepy, you know. And I know this is real corny or whatever to some of you guys, but I remember looking over at Kim. This is before we were married. We were dating, but my eyes were fixed on her, y'all. I was locked in. And I remember she would be over there asleep, and I'm thinking, I got to stay awake. And I'd look over at her, and I'd start smiling. I'd look over at her, and it would just wake me up. I said, I'm not losing her. I'm not going to fall asleep. We're not going to hit a tree. I was locked in on her. You know what I'm saying, y'all? Come on, can y'all feel this? Can y'all feel this? Or the time when we were up in Boston trying to get back to New York City on a trip, and I had my son driving, and I thought I was going to change wheels and get the wheel before he was a young and inexperienced driver at this point, and he's got the wheel, and we're getting into New York City, and there's no place to turn off and let me get behind the wheel, and now my son's behind the wheel. And you're talking about locked in on something. I was like, okay, we were going under bridges and over. Y'all know what New York City's like to drive in New York City, getting in for coming down from Boston. I was trying to get to Newark, New Jersey, through New York City, and I had my phone out, my little GPS. Thank God for GPS and that little navigational thing. And I was reading every move for him to make, and he was locked in, and I was getting. I said, okay, in 10 feet, in 5 feet, turn. You know, and I was just moving every. But I'm talking about an intense. I was, and you're talking about tense. You don't have no idea what it was like in that car. Mama was crying and dying, and I was like pumping out orders to my son, and he was had his knuckles white on the wheel. What I'm trying to paint a picture for you of is this: is that when we're talking about following Jesus, it's not this casual glance. It's not just, well, you know, I just throw Jesus in the mix somewhere. No, for you to overcome disappointment in life, the key is this, and that is to get your eyes fixed and locked in on Jesus. We need a clear picture, though, of who we are looking at. And the Bible is full of, it's really a book of disappointed people whose life was messed up, but then they locked their eyes in on God. And so I want to give you some things that might help you kind of understand who we're locking in on, who we're focused on this morning. And that is, first of all, get this, number one, and that is this, that God is sovereign. When we picture who we're locking in on, you need to lock in on this fact, and that is that God is sovereign, and that nothing is out of His control. Nothing is out of His control. And a great example for this is the person of Job in the Old Testament. Job lost everything. Job lost his stuff. He lost his kids. He had sickness. He had pain he was going through. He lost everything except his wife. And I think that was probably the one thing he was saying, God, look, why did you leave me her? I mean, I know that's funny, but I mean, he was kind of saying, and so he was, there was this suffering that he was going through, but he lost all this. And then throughout this book, it's recorded that he is wrestling with God, and he's wrestling with God's sovereignty. But the last three chapters of this book, God just kind of goes gangster on Job. He just lays it all out there. And he asks him a bunch of questions. And he says, where were you? Where were you when I made the heavens? Where were you when I thought this? And where were you when I did this? And where were you? And you're here trying to instruct me about what I'm doing. And at the end of all that, Job realized that God was sovereign. And his response back to God is recorded in Job chapter 42 and verse 2, when he says, I'm convinced that you can do anything and everything, and nothing and no one can upset your plans. You are sovereign. You are sovereign. Our circumstances, get this, our circumstances, our disappointments say nothing more or less about God's sovereignty. Our life, good or bad, God is no better when our life is good, and God is not worse when our life is bad. You need to get a hold of that one. Our circumstances do not dictate His sovereignty. God is sovereign. He is in control. And a lot of us, we don't understand that. We don't understand the sovereignty of God. We don't really get that. Why is it that we don't understand that? Well, Isaiah says this in Isaiah 55 and verse 8. He says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. This is why we don't understand His sovereignty. He's far above us. We don't have His perspective. And he says, my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. So we don't even have the facilities to comprehend or understand. But God is sovereign. Look at point number two, and that is, we need to get a picture of this, and that is that God is authentic. God is authentic. He is who He says He is. A great place to look to get a picture of this is actually in the Psalms. The Psalms start out with a disappointed person. Most all of them do, wrestling with who God is. And as he works through that, he always comes back to God is who He says He is. In fact, the first 10 chapters of the Psalms tells us that God is a God of love. He's a God of peace. He's our Father. He's our shield. He's our deliverer. He's our miracle worker. He's a God who will never forsake us no matter how we feel. We have His promise. No matter what we feel emotionally or what we're going through, we have His promise that He is with us and He'll never leave us. And so it brings us to a great psalm that's found in Psalm 136 and verse 1. That we can then say, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. He is a good God. So I encourage you, if you're facing disappointment, get into the psalm. Read the Psalms, and there will be a source of encouragement for you. And third, this is a place where sovereignty and authenticity connect, and that is that God is involved. God is involved. And so the end is never the end. The end is never the end. Here's the exciting news about this, and that is that we have a redemptive God. And so there are no dead ends when it comes to God. God always makes a way. Where there is no way, God makes the way, and He is the way. Amen? He is a God who is involved, and He makes a way for us. He always makes a way. He loves us so much. He loves us enough that He gets down into our mess where we are, and He makes sense out of it all. He's there with us. A great example of this is Joseph. Joseph was one of Jacob's sons, and he was the son of Rachel. It was her firstborn, and the Bible kind of brings out the fact that Jacob was probably a favorite of Joseph. And so Joseph was a dreamer. He kind of shared some things probably prematurely before he should have with his brothers. His brothers became jealous, sold him into slavery, put him into a pit. He got out of there, was kind of making some momentum with his life. Then he got falsely accused, got thrown into prison. He finally ends up getting delivered out of that and getting a promotion, and actually is in a great place of leadership in the nation. And you know the story. His brothers come to him, and not realizing it's him, and Joseph has the opportunity to take revenge upon them. But instead, Joseph's response is quite different. And look at this with me. Joseph realized how God's always involved in his life, and he was always building bridges. There was never a dead-end moment. And look at Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." So Joseph understood that God was involved in orchestrating the entire thing. In fact, it was a fulfillment of the dream that he had many years ago. But God had to take him through these different places, but yet God was always there. And so understand this, no matter what you're going through, no matter what dips and turns and valleys and whatever it is you're going through and hardships you're going through or disappointments you're going through, God is in control, and He's very much involved in your life, and He is there with you. And so it's not over. The point of this is that the best is yet to come, and God loves you and has a plan for your life. In fact, Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8. He says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." So God has a plan for your life, and He is working all things together for our good. So we've got to lock in on Jesus. And when we lock in on Jesus, then we'll be able, like Paul, to say, "This is just light and momentary, what I'm going through." It helps you put it in perspective. And so it helps us have this faith to understand that God is sovereign, that God is authentic, that God is involved. It gives us right perspective. But when disappointments come, let me just give you something very practical. When disappointments come to us, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with it in the moment? Anybody have a moment? I mean, when that disappointment hits you, how do you deal with it in that moment? I'm going to give you some steps, I believe, that will help you lock your eyes in on God. Again, this is a maturity message. It's how we grow and overcome these disappointments and overcome these distractions that could actually be used to destroy us, but they don't have to. Actually, what God sends to us never destroys us. It's meant for our promotion. Actually, it is for our advancement. In fact, even David, when he faced Goliath, you remember, that wasn't for his destruction. It might have looked like it to some, but it was actually his promotion. Nobody knew who David was until he went up against Goliath, right? Saul's killed his thousands, David his 10,000s, right? And so what's coming your way is always God's working all together for your good. But how do you respond in those moments of disappointments? Let me give you this point. Number one, turn to God immediately. Immediately. Underline that, immediately. Make God our first response and not our last resort. Now, that's not natural when we're having a moment of disappointment. We want to handle it. We want to understand it. We want to make sense of it. We want to control it. We want to take care of it. And then we might tack God on at the end of it all. But listen, we got to get to the point where we've always, our first response is God, putting God first. And God says, "I got to be first." And when you go through something, our first reaction should be to run to God immediately. In fact, Psalm 55 says this, "Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin." Isn't that good? Come on, everybody. That's worth That's worth a hand clap of praise over that one right there. Isn't that great? He'll never let good people topple into ruin. And so when we go through a problem or a disappointment, it's a good thing really to stop and just have a Selah moment. You know, just experience the moment. And it's like, sometimes it comes like a wave. When there's disappointment, it's like a wave. Just go ahead, let the wave just encounter the wave, let it roll over you, experience the wave, right? Let it splash over you. And then in the midst of that, though, then pray and invite God's presence. Pray first, we say around here. Pray first. And then this may sound like Sunday school kind of stuff, but this is real. Find a verse. Find a Bible verse that will help you in that situation. And there's promises all through the Bible for every situation that you'll ever go through. And find that thing and hold on to that thing and use that. Because oftentimes, listen, we need a weapon to help us in that situation. And oftentimes we look to our own devices. Listen, we need to take God's word. And when you find that verse, hold on to that thing and apply it to that situation and watch your life change because of it. So it's being equipped to be able to handle that situation with God's word. Look at the next thing, and that is, not only do we need to turn to God immediately, but we need to allow others into the situation. Allow others into the situation. So none of us are strong enough to do life alone. We all need others with us in the trench, fighting the battles with us. We're not a lone soldier. We need one another. And here's the thing: if we hold on to disappointments, we got to be very careful with that. Because a disappointment inside of us can oftentimes grow, and it leads to discouragement, and discouragement leads to depression, and it leads us to a very dark place. And if you're not careful, you can walk down a road, the road of life, on your journey, and find yourself years later where you realize that that moment has dictated everything about your life, and it doesn't have to be that way. You follow me? So disappointments, it's very important how we handle that. We need to involve other people. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that says this: a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple band, braided cord is not easily broken. And then Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17 says this: a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So we need to involve others in our situation. So we invite God in, and then we allow others to be involved in. And that's one reason why we around here at Cross Point, really, and you heard it on the announcement video, we really emphasize small groups. You need to get in relationship with somebody. I'm telling you, if you want to grow, if you want to overcome obstacles in life, you need to be in relationship with one another. You're not going to be able to handle that by yourself, right? God built us for relationships. In fact, today at the end of this message, we're going to have an opportunity. If you want to come and pray and have somebody pray with you, that's great. But I'm telling you what these that are praying with you will be also helping you with is getting you connected, not just to God, but we want to get you connected into a small group. And our small group pastor, Pastor Steve, wave at everybody. This is our small group's pastor. Find this guy at the church if you're not in relationship. If you need a small group, he'll help you find the one that's right for you and get you connected and get you into relationship, because we need that to be able to survive and overcome these things. So get in the right group, all right? That's enough I'll say about that. Number three, turn your pain into purpose. Turn your pain into purpose. This one's huge, huge. You didn't just happen to go through something for no reason. Everything that happens to us, God has a reason for it. God allows it, and God has a purpose intended in all of it. And a lot of people say, well, what is ministry? You know, you do this, y'all do this. What do y'all do in ministry? Well, let me tell you what ministry is. Ministry is really this. It's a bunch of people who've gone through a lot of terrible things, who've allowed God to move in the situation, and now are using those things to help other people who are in the same spot. That's what ministry is, everybody. It's when you've gone through something, you're dealt with something, and God's helped you in that, and you're saying, hey, you know what? I know what that's like. I've been there. I know what he's going through or she's going through, and I'm going to help that person and minister to that person. That is what true ministry is all about, and that's what God has called us to do. Here's the deal. There's no dead-end street. the disappointment that you face, you think, well, that's a dead end, that is a dead end street. No, it's not a dead end street, because you can use that thing to help other people. So we help other people, so it's not the end of it all. And really, to let what we go through be the end of it all, that's a selfish disappointment. I mean, that's just saying, well, it's all about me. But if we take that and use it to help other people, listen, folks, that is so powerful. That makes you get up in the morning with a purpose and a reason to help somebody else and pour into their life, right? So I encourage you, find a small group, find freedom, find life, get involved, and find out the purpose for your life. And then look at Philippians chapter 2. Paul puts it so beautifully. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, I've got a purpose, and I'm pressing toward that. And he said, it's all for the glory of God. Let me make a recommendation for you. I want to recommend a 24-hour rule. And that is, when you go through a disappointment, set yourself a 24-hour rule that you're gonna deal with that for 24 hours, and you're gonna understand that it hurts. You're gonna experience that, but then you're gonna move on. You know, that's what coaches do, I understand, with their teams. When they suffer a loss, they experience it, they deal with it, but then they've got to move on because they've got another opponent coming down the road that they've got to face. And so I want to encourage you, don't get stuck in one situation. You know, I understand there's real pain and it's deep. And I know sometimes there's healing that takes, I understand, years. I get that. But really, we need to make sure that we don't get stuck in the disappointment. But because there's too many people that are hurting. There's too many people that need God. There's too many people that need to encounter God's love. And guess what? There's too many people that need you, that need you. And I know it hurts when you suffer loss. I've suffered loss of many different kinds. And oftentimes, I just want to reach back and kind of revisit that and try to hold on to that and find a way to fix that. But there's a time, sometimes, where you just got to let go and you got to let God, right? And then you got to move forward because God's got a purpose for your life. Can I get a good amen right there, right? And so understand that. And then let me give you this one, and that is live with an eternal perspective. Live with an eternal perspective. Hey, everybody, this world is not our home. This world is not our home. 1 John chapter 2, 17 says, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to have that kind of perspective. And oftentimes, going through disappointments, if we do it right, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, will actually give us a more clear perspective than what we had before. God actually uses those things to reveal himself. Israel, when God brought Israel out of bondage and they went through the wilderness, you'll see them ascribe to him different names. And the reason they ascribed to him different names, it was based on what they had just went through, and God revealed himself, oh, he's our provider. You're God Jehovah. And they would assign different names to him based on what they had experienced. I want to tell you, you may be suffering some great disappointments, but God wants to reveal himself to you through those things and let you understand really who he is, that he's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I want to share, if we pull all this together, I want to share a little story that I heard about a family. I think that would just be a good model for us. You don't know this family, but it's a family of a husband and wife and some daughters, and the most tragic thing that happened to them several years back where they lost their teenage daughter. She passed away, and the family was torn, of course, with grief, but yet their faith became even stronger through what they went through as a family. I can't imagine anything worse than losing a child. And they had this to deal with, and then just a few months after that, the mother-in-law of this couple had passed away. It was just like one death right after another. I mean, here's this mother that just lost her daughter, and now she's losing her mother on both ends. Then a little time passed, just past that, and the father was diagnosed with cancer. And you're thinking, how much can one family deal with? And you know, we look around and say, well, surely they'd be justified in reacting in a not very good way. But listen, this family was a family of faith, a family that stood and their faith on the Lord and had their eyes fixed on the Lord. And I just want to share with you that the father had such a strong faith, and he had focused his faith on Jesus, as we're talking about, fixed his faith. And he wrote a statement that he shared, and his testimony is simply this, and I don't think anything could be more powerful than just listening to this, is his response, his perspective. And he said, in the midst of exiting the hospital and starting chemo, I read James 5. The Bible's own troubleshooting guide for life. Per the word of God, we called on the elders of the church to pray with us. For such prayers heal the sick. At that moment, my life and perspective changed. I still had grief and trauma, and I still had cancer, but I was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, my helper, and resolved to live life to the fullest every single day, no matter how many days are left. Says, today I love my God more than ever. I seek Him more than ever. I know Him more than ever. My prayer life has changed. My perspective is eternal. He goes on to say, my will is more His will and less my own. My goal is to complete the work He has for me on earth with gladness. To hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, is not likely meant for those who grumble in their service. My desire is to live with joy, to be content, to stay in His presence here on earth until His appointed days for my life. Those days don't come from a doctor, but from God. And when they're completed, I'll spend eternity with the one who first loved me. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? About a year ago, this man went on to be with the Lord. What a great example to us. And maybe you're not suffering such disappointment as that, but on some level you're suffering some disappointment. I just want to remind us today, God is sovereign. God is authentic. God wants to be involved in your life. God wants Himself to be the focus of your life. And I want to encourage you today to focus on an all-powerful God who loves us, who cares for us. There's a lot of disappointments in life, but God is real. He's miraculous. He has ability to do any and everything, and He's given us an ability called faith to look to Him and to respond to Him when our life seems to be out of control. Give Him control and watch Him give His work His peace in our life. You know, I'm just going to get real personal right here, because I think all of us have different things that are disappointing to us. And I think probably in my life, one of the most disappointing things for me oftentimes is rejection. I think as a child, sometimes you experience these things where you feel rejected. You go through life at times where you feel rejected, and I think when I look around, though, I don't think that's just exclusively me. I think a lot of us are just longing for acceptance, looking for love. Many of us, the song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. I want to tell you, Jesus understood and walked through everything we walked through, every disappointment we walked through. It says that He was tempted in every case like we are. He's experienced that. And rejection was one of the biggest things that He went through. He was disowned by His own. He was rejected by His own. His own family disowned Him. He was rejected by those close to Him. And He suffered and went through all that so that you could understand that He knows where you are. And he understands what you're going through. And here's what he offers. He offers His love to you. And his statement is, don't reject me, but receive my love. And God would never reject us when we come to Him in faith, in simple childlike faith. He wants to just come and heal us of our disappointments, and He wants to set us free. Amen. Would you bow your heads for just a moment this morning? Today, I just want to give an offer to you to do simply that, and that is just receive His His love. I do think God has disappointments. I think God's disappointed when we refuse His love. Today, I want to encourage you to not disappoint God, but simply accept His love, accept His grace, accept His forgiveness in your life. You're here today and you know that you need to receive His grace in your life. You know, you don't have a relationship with Him that brings you peace. You're in the midst of disappointment, you're in the midst of life, and you're suffering trouble, but you haven't encountered that part where He says that we can have His peace. And God offers that to you today, and here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to simply help you take the first step in discovering what peace is all about, and that is by simply receiving Him through follow me in just a simple prayer that I'm going to lead you in. And here's what I promise to do. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But right where you are, if that's you, I would like to just help lead you in a prayer. You can just pray it there in your heart to the Lord between you and God. God will come in and change everything in a moment. But if that's you today and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? If that's you right now, you just have the courage just to slip up your hand and you can put it right back down. I'd just like to know who I'm agreeing with. Slip up a hand and say, Pastor, when you pray, would you count me in? Today I want to surrender my life. I want to give my heart to Jesus today. God bless you. God bless you. Let me help lead you in this prayer. Again, if you've raised your hand or if you maybe even didn't raise your hand, but you know you need to pray this prayer, just simply I'm going to just help you with the words. It's your prayer. Let me just help you right here. Just pray something like this. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins and my mistakes. Today, I turn my life over to you, and I invite you to come and live inside of me. God, forgive me for going my way. God, today I pray not my will, but your will be done in my life. Because your will and your way is better than mine. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, paying for my sins, and accepting me now into your family. Today I declare that you're the Lord of my life, and I will follow you with all my heart. I will fix my eyes upon you. Thank you, Jesus.